Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
That's every day now officially underway. It is Moneyline. Yes, it's your boy DRS. It is a solo mission. I got you for the next hour. The hottest topics across the sports landscape you know we're going to get to, which includes college basketball. What happened last night? What's going to happen tonight? Because I got you for the hour here. And we're on a solo mission. We can go down that handicapping route, which you know a lot of you love. Got some games picked out tonight. Some sides I think we can make some money on. New conference tournaments tipping off on a day-to-day basis here on the lower mid-major levels. Next week, we've already talked about how big a week that is for the high majors getting involved in afternoon basketball when we're going to be doing these type of shows and previewing games just about to tip off. That's what we love. And also, you know what else you guys love? The Sports Grid Network and the easiest ways to actually watch, listen, and learn. You go ahead and you get sportsgridradio.com. Hit it. Listen to us. You also have the Sports Grid app. Maybe the single best app in the sports handicapping business. Follow your favorite host right here on the Sports Grid Network and get up to date on everything you need to make you a smart handicapper. Or if you're just listening right now on Sirius XM Channel 159, like most of us are, and away we go, specifically on our YouTube channel. You want to watch the radio show. You want to reach out to a host. You go. Sports Grid On Demand. Almost 7,000 people now subscribe there. Come in the chat box. Say hello. You got a hot take. You got plays you got out there. Come on now. Shout outs. Do what you got to do. Have some fun, keep it in tune, but that's the best way to do it. Business now out of the way. You know how to get us on the grid each and every day you listen. Just wanted to explain it for some people out there that are just getting down with the Sports Grid Network. But football is always on our mind. We're going to get the basketball people. We got a ton of it. The NBA, college basketball, you name it. But sometimes the NFL just hits you with bangers every morning, which included today, Kansas City Chiefs trading All-Pro guard Joe Tooney over to the Chicago Bears, who have a lot of draft capital and a lot of money to spend. A fourth-round pick, and it wasn't even this year. It's next year's fourth-round pick for the Bears. So still keeping their picks intact for the season, adding two offensive linemen to protect your biggest asset in Mr. Caleb. And Caleb Williams, with maybe the very best play caller in the National Football League as his head coach, Ben Johnson, and an improving offensive line, what's not to like? Is it a tough division? You know it is. Minnesota's really good, regardless of the quarterback coming back next year. Kevin O'Connell will have them in store. The Green Bay Packers, what are they going to do in the offseason? Can they add a number one wide receiver? What will they do? Is it DK Metcalf, where they're trying to work out a deal for? Is it going to be Devontae Adams going home? Good football team. The Detroit Lions, one of the best football teams out there. Lost their offensive coordinator, which did go to Chicago. That's going to hurt. But talent for talent, healthy team there, their roster plays with just about anybody in the NFL. And then you have the Chicago Bears on the upswing with Caleb Williams, a great head coach, a lot of talent, and a lot of money to spend. Their offseason is just underway. Love what they're doing. Now also, there is a method to the madness out here. The Kansas City Chiefs aren't just trading away Joe Tooney because they feel like, oh, he's the best offensive lineman in the league, and we're really bad on offensive line. There is a salary cap. There are restraints here. But understand this. They see Joe Tooney on a day-to-day basis. And maybe they're feeling like he wants a new contract extension. We're not willing to pay that. Let's move on from him. We'll save some cap space. We'll reinvest in our offensive line and get a little bit younger. And we feel that's in the best interest for us here. And maybe so. Don't mind what the Chiefs are doing.
They're smart enough to retool. They got a great general manager in Brett Veach. Obviously, Andy Reid is a head coach, and anytime you have Patrick Mahomes, you are going to be just fine next year. We'll see some of the moves they make. That's already one of them. From a Bears perspective, love what I see. Can't have too many good offensive linemen to surround the young quarterback. And if your offense wants to work, you better protect the quarterback, and Ben Johnson absolutely is doing that. But I'll tell you the stinger, which was, I wasn't on the air when this went down. Caught us a little bit off guard. Saquon Barkley re-upping with the Philadelphia Eagles 1 year into a contract with the Eagles. Now being paid as the highest paid running back in NFL history at over $20 million per year. Now, it is all semantics. He was going to make a lot of money already under his contract. And how crazy the salary cap works is you sign Saquon Barkley to more money than anybody's ever seen year to year as a running back. But somehow that cap number is probably going to be less than what it was going to be. Make it make sense. Sometimes it doesn't here. So I do think that was a big move by the Eagles, who do have some chips to play. They released Darius Slay and also James Bradbury, figuring out that it's going to save him about maybe $6-7 million against the cap. Josh Sweat probably not coming back. Milton Williams not coming back. So their cap space is right around that $25-30 million range. But Zach Bond set to become a free agent because they didn't put the franchise tag on him, and rightfully so. You're not going to pay a middle linebacker $25+ million per year to hit against the cap if you can't work out a long-term deal. So we'll see where they go. But I love also this move. Talked about it this morning. I know if you're a Jets fan out there, and if I'm talking to any of you guys, I love what your franchise is doing. Systematically tearing down with a new regime, both general manager and head coach, of what you saw for the past 2 years, which was the Aaron Rodgers regime in New York. It didn't work out. It was an abject failure for the expectations of Aaron Rodgers coming in and what you actually got, which was like three plays in the 2023 season. And then you got a disastrous 2024 season, which didn't end up in a playoff run. You can't have that. So a new coach and general manager comes in and says, Aaron, we're probably better with you right now than the alternative. But that's not what the future is about for our organization. Then you see Davante Adams, who is still a quality wide receiver, still part of that Aaron Rodgers crew, just cut him outright, didn't even make a trade. Saved like $25 million on the cap. You see Alan Lazard, another good friend of Aaron Rodgers, now in the trading block. They're trying to cut the cancerous tumors out of that franchise enough to move forward. And it might not benefit them this year. And I'm not saying it's going to. But over the next 2 to 3 years, if Aaron Glenn is able to install exactly what Dan Campbell did in Detroit, which means that grit, toughness, and we're going to play and win as a team. Trust me on that. I like where the Jets are going here. I really do. Like the sky is the limit. For the first time in 15 years, it feels like Jets fans actually have their team back. Even though the equation might not appear to be great this year. And who knows? We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be, who the draft pick is going to be, what the style is going to be at this point. But moving forward off of what didn't work, because insanity is doing things over and over and over and expecting this different result, right? You get the same result. Aaron Rodgers didn't work in New York. So him coming back for one more year, you know what? It's not going to work again. Even if you look at his end-of-the-year statistics, where they weren't all that bad, you say, boy, man, he can make their team better. Yes, he can. But what is better? 8 wins? Hurting your draft stock? Not getting a quarterback of the future? Get excited. Like, again, you're either all in or you're all out in professional sports. Don't give me the Band-Aids. Band-Aids never work. They don't help you short-term, and they don't help you long-term at that point. So from the NFL landscape, like, what's next to drop on this point now? I see Sam Hubbard released from the Cincinnati Bengals defensive end, but I think he's retiring also after 7 seasons. That'll save him $9.5 million. They cut Alex Kappa yesterday, saved them $8 million. They're making moves all over to try to afford their most expensive players. And don't even get me started how their business model works, because it doesn't make any sense. Slap once again with a franchise tag to have him count $26-27 million against the cap where he'd be angry playing. And then Ja'Marr Chase, who the Bengals agree. They're like, you know what? We're going to pay you as the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And Ja'Marr's just saying, yeah, that's good. And his camp's like, you know what? We're still not even close on an agreement at this point, which shows you how much money he's asking for, which it never had to be this way, Cincinnati. But it turned like it. Odigizua signs yesterday for the Cowboys. 4 years and $80 million. How about his cap hit this year? $5 to $6 million. That's it. That works, people. That's the way to do it. That's how you do business. No franchise tags. Boy Donnie Wrightside, it's a Wednesday hump day on a solo mission, and we'll be back right after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I told you. We're going to talk college basketball today and the NBA. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to because why? We're just about to start dancing out here. We are almost at March Madness. The official start, I guess it would be Selection Sunday. I'm in March Madness mode right now. That's what I am. I want to dance. I want to have fun. And yesterday was profitable for your boy DRS. Number one Auburn, number 22 Texas A&M yesterday from College Station. Auburn 15-1 in the SEC goes into that game. Auburn leaves that game 15-2 in the SEC. An 83-72 victory for Texas A&M. And handicapping that game yesterday, they put out a couple videos. The Texas A&M team total over 72.5 came in. Why? Because they scored 83 points. I thought it was a decent matchup for A&M, who hadn't been playing all that great basketball down the stretch. But sometimes you still have to trust the numbers and where they make sense. You might have said, Donnie, why don't you just take the game itself where A&M was getting a couple points. I wasn't really going to trust that because we know when Auburn really turns on the gas pedal, they will hammer you. I mean, clearly, 27-3 on the season, one of the toughest conferences there is, and still being 15-2, and also trying to still fight and get that outright conference championship for themselves, which we're going to dip into a game tonight in just a few moments, which might have a little bit of an impact on that from an in-state rivalry there. 83-72, A&M knocks off Auburn. Another game I got right, and we will say this time and time again. Sometimes the gambling gods laugh at you. Sometimes the gambling gods absolutely shine for you. And why is that? I had a game yesterday. I had no business on winning until we went to one overtime and two overtimes. What was that? You saw me loving yesterday with Iowa State. They're going to beat BYU. They lost that basketball game, 88-85. But also, Iowa State's team total in that game, 79.5. The end of regulation, 68 points. You're like, man, can't believe it. We got crushed in that game. Nope. You go to overtime, it is your best friend. They end up getting the 85 points, which was great. But by the way, if you guys didn't listen to the early line this morning, why you're not doing that, I don't know. 8 to 11 a.m., Monday through Friday, Ben Stevens and your boy DRS. This was a statistical anomaly type game. 29 turnovers for the BYU offense. And by the way, let me just bring up KenPom quickly. I just want to check a statistic here real quick for BYU. Let me just type in BYU. Boop, boop, boop. Let's see what we got. Because I just want to see coming into the game in the season. So they are prone to turnovers overall. 12th in conference play. 29 turnovers, 23 personal fouls, and they won that basketball game. Like, you have 29 turnovers on one side. The other side, Iowa State, has 11. So a plus 18 in the turnover battle for Iowa State, and they lost at home at Hilton. Well, the magic usually happens. Didn't play all that great. 28% from the three-point line, 39% from the field. But look at the rebounding advantage, too, from those turnovers. BYU had 52 rebounds. Iowa State only had 24 rebounds. One of the more crazy games to look at just from the box score. But you got to say, man, absolutely credit to BYU. It's one of those teams that I have a hard time trusting because they really do, for the most part, live and die by the three-point shot. But that's a big-time victory because I told you guys yesterday, sort of looking in that Big 12, you know, meat grinder, if you will, coming out of the end to win the national championship, 30-1 and 20-1, respectively, Iowa State and Texas Tech. Still have my eye on that, but that's a bad loss for Iowa State, but maybe giving you a better price point when it's all said and done. Double overtime victory. BYU was the better team, even though in the second half, Iowa State scored 44 points and outscoring them by 9 points here to push to overtime. But BYU hanging around, still winning that game was impressive. Memphis, UTSA, who cares? Nobody could care less. Here's another game that I like the over that we talked about in the early line yesterday. It was Purdue and Rutgers. 100-71. Purdue absolutely laid waste to Rutgers, who is now 14-16 on the season and 7-12 on the Big Ten. Listen, well, that sounds like Rutgers basketball. Not necessarily over the past couple years. A real competitive team, even in the Big Ten. And you have two of the top three players in the country commit to you and play, and Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, and you stink? Make it make sense, because it doesn't. But great performance. And by the way, you want to talk about a team that can get hot from the three-point line and a team that doesn't want to defend anything? Purdue yesterday against Rutgers, 18 of 36 from the three-point line. Yeah, that's 50% at volume. Absolutely blew away the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Kentucky at home against lowly LSU handled their business by 31, 95-64. And I didn't check the box score here. With a three-point, not really, 12 made three-point shots is a decent number, but out of 32, shot about 38%. Brea 2-for-7, but the bench went nuts. Chandler 3-of-6. Garrison 2-of-5. Almanor 3-of-4. Only 11 free throw attempts taken, but Kentucky really hammered him in that game. Out west, late night, Arizona 113, Arizona 100, a blowout victory there. And Mississippi State continues to fall and will be falling out of the top 25 by the time we talk next week. They lose to Texas at home in overtime, 87-82. Now, we look towards Wednesday's card. We know there's always a lot of ranked versus ranked matchups here because the big boys are still playing and closing out their regular seasons. We're going to go over a couple of these games here. Maryland, Michigan, I think there's a pathway to victory there. Florida, Alabama, that one as well. Clemson, Boston College, yep. Haven't looked at the Colorado, Texas Tech game, but we will. And you know what? Even though I have about a minute here, we're going to start down that path in just a moment. Because again, I am digging Texas Tech now that they're back healthy. I was digging Iowa State. Yeah, look, they cashed a ticket for me last night. Didn't lose any money on them. But I didn't like that loss per se against BYU. That should be a game that a finesse team really comes into town and you handle your business. And they basically tried to hand you the basketball game with all of those turnovers. And you didn't take advantage. That's a little worrisome. Wisconsin, Minnesota, not all that interested there. Missouri, Oklahoma, Marquette, UConn do have a side in that one. Tennessee, Ole Miss, not a really big Tennessee fan. And Louisville, California, which should be a blowout victory for Louisville, but I don't love the matchup per se. Just wish that California was like, you know what? Shoot as many three-point shots as you want to here, make as many as you want, and away you go in that aspect. But the college basketball card is pretty deep tonight, and we're going to dip into that next. So we'll start Alabama and Florida. We'll hit Maryland, Michigan, and UConn, Marquette coming up right after the break. Let's find some winners, baby. Hot yesterday with the team totals. Can we do it again today? Let's find out. It's Boyd DRS. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back at it here. It's glorious. It's a Wednesday. Sitting here in early March. If I'm in the Northeast and you're in the Northeast and it's cold weather and it's windy over the next couple days, just understand this. In a few short weeks, we're going to have Major League Baseball. The weather's going to start to heat up. March Madness on the horizon. Big things at the Sports Grid Network. And people getting paid in football. And by the way, if you don't understand why the Philadelphia Eagles paid your boy Saquon Barkley, listen to this.
Here's Barkley, a little shovel. Looking for an edge. Gets it.
Ooh.
Saquon Barkley.
Ooh.
First down.
Ooh. Oh. Oh.
Touchdown.
Oh. Yeah, see that? Love it. Playing little drops there in the offseason. Who said it can't be football season 24-7 around here? I love it. But you know what else I love? College basketball. Getting after it and handicapping games. Let's go to the Big Ten. Number 13, Michigan. 22-7 on the season, 12-6 in the Big Ten. Headed to play call Michigan at the Chrysler Center. 22-7 also. 14-4 in the Big Ten. Two quality basketball teams here. Line currently sits here. Opened up in New Jersey as a -1.5-point favorite towards Michigan. We now sit at 2.5 across the board. It's hard to win on the road. We understand that. Total in this game, 153.5. Still sitting there. Hasn't made too much movement. We're expecting points in this game. Big Ten Network. Early start, as we said, 6:30 p.m. If you look at the Maryland offense, which is decent, I should say. 5 out of 18 teams in conference play. Inefficiency. They shoot the three-point shot very well. Number two, effectively, in conference play at 37%. Michigan's defense is a decent defensive team, 6 out of 18 teams overall. They defend the three-point shot pretty well, 32.5%, which is fifth overall in conference play. If we look at the styles here, 16th out of 18 teams at volume from the three-point line, that's Maryland. But they make number two as the percent at 37%. So what does that mean? They're not actively seeking out the three-point shot, but if it's there and it's open, they will make it. That's a key component, particularly with going on the road. If we look at the point distribution on defense, ninth in two-pointers for the percentage of points here for Maryland, ninth on defense for the percentage of shots made against Michigan on defense as a percentage. I think it's a pretty good matchup here for Maryland on offense. They should be able to score in the paint, and when the three ball is open, they should be able to knock it down. Now let's get over to the Michigan Wolverines on offense, because Maryland is number two in defensive efficiency in Big Ten conference play, once again out of 18 teams. You know which team turns it over more than any other team in conference play? That's the Michigan Wolverines at almost 20%. So one out of every five possessions is not ending up in a shot, it's ending up in a turnover. That could be detrimental. You also take a look at Michigan, one of the better teams in conference play, getting to the free throw line. Number two in conference play. Going up against a team that doesn't foul that much. Only sixth in conference play, so you might not have that added advantage. Now, the one thing that Michigan likes to do a lot is shoot the three-point shot. They're not very good with the percentage at making it. They're actually 17th out of 18 teams in conference play at 31.6%. Conversely, we told you, Maryland's defense is very good. They turn you over. They rebound pretty well. They don't foul that much, but they also defend the three-point line. They're number three in conference play, once again, out of 18 teams at defense on the three-point line. So catch and shoot, hand in the face, you're not making that much. But here's what's more important. Michigan loves the three-point shot volume-wise. They're third in conference play at volume out of 18 teams, which means they're actively seeking out the three-point shot, but not making a high percentage of it. Well, how does that match up against Maryland's defense from the three-point line itself? I just told you, they're very good at defending it, but how about this? Number two in conference play at chasing you off of the three-point line. That's big. That's big. That's your advantage. So if you're looking to go on the road, handle the three-point line. Don't let Michigan get off the three-point line. Force the turnovers, which Michigan will have. And I think you'll come away with a victory with Maryland. So I look at that short price here for Michigan. I'm going to take Maryland getting the 2.5 points and go against the line movement in this spot as game number one that I'm looking at, just in some of the bigger games. Game number two, this is a good one in the SEC. It's Florida coming to town to take on Alabama at 25-4 overall. You take a look at Florida in the SEC, 12-4 overall. Look at the Alabama Crimson Tide, 23-6 on the season, identical record in the SEC at 12-4. See if they can handle their business tonight here up against Florida. That game is at home. So if I get the updated odds here, up on my screen, 178.5 is the total. Astronomical. That basically, in layman's terms, both teams getting what? 89 points in this one. The line is Alabama opened up at 3.5, still sits at 3.5 across the board. We're going to handicap this one coming out of the break, because again, the tale of the three-point line sometimes tells the tale of the tape. And I want to go over line by line why I actually like Alabama to win this game at home over the Florida Gators. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline in the afternoon right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, we got a tussle in Tuscaloosa tonight, people. Yes, we do. Number 5 versus number 7. That's Florida and Alabama SEC action. And I told you I wanted to handicap this game because I do think the Alabama Crimson Tide are the better team tonight. As I pointed out before the break, Alabama is a 3.5-point favorite in this game over Florida. Total, 178.5. Astronomical, so much fun. Great tempo and great offenses going at it. If we're just looking at offensive efficiency, Alabama number one overall in conference play, Florida number four. So you're going to get a pretty clean slate out of this. One thing that does benefit the Florida Gators on offense is Alabama's defense will not turn you over. Therefore, you should get any shot that you want. However, some of those shots come a little bit differently than others, depending on which type of gameplay you want to try to execute. Looking at the Florida Gators, 15th out of 16 teams in the SEC at getting to the free throw line. Point distribution for their offense. 16 out of 16 teams at only 16.8% of their total offense coming to the line. So on the road in a close game, that's probably not going to prove dividends for Florida. And also, if they do get to the free throw line, check this out. Is that 69% from the free throw line. Dead last in SEC competition. Close game. Can't trust the free throw shooters. That could be an issue that pops up. Alabama's defense is decent. Not great. Midway in the SEC. They don't turn the basketball. They don't turn the people over, which is what the issue is. But having said that, look at Florida's offense as a whole. They shoot the three-point shot pretty well as a team at 36%. You're on the road, so maybe that take a little bit of a downgrade. But you look at their volume from three-point range. It's number two in conference play. 44% of their shots come from the three-point line, and they make a decent amount. That's why they're such a good basketball team. And if you allow them to shoot the three-point shot, they'll provide dagger after dagger against you. But Alabama's defense, again, middling, but they do a couple things really well. And that includes defending the three-point line. They only give up 31% from three-point range in conference play. That's good for third best in the conference. But how about this more important statistic? We just told you Florida loves to jack up three-point shots. What if I told you Alabama is the best in conference play at chasing you off of the three-point line? That's an advantage. You look at Alabama's offense as opposed to their defense, it's number one with a bullet in the SEC. Efficiency rating, 120.2, number one. Effective field goal percentage, number one. Second best offensive rebounding team in the SEC. Fourth best at getting to the line. Third best at making the three-point shot. And when they don't make the three-point shot and they go inside the paint, a league best 58% inside the arc. So for me, it's simple. It's a great spot for the Alabama Crimson Tide at home to jumpstart the final few games of the season before they head into SEC conference play. I think it makes sense. I'll lay the 3.5 with the Alabama Crimson Tide as it starts right now. Let's keep moving down the list here on the top 25 games tonight. And some of these could be blowouts, which to me, these are a little bit easier to handicap. And we're talking about those Clemson Tigers, who after losing in three overtimes to Georgia Tech on February 4th, they actually beat the Duke Blue Devils. They beat North Carolina. They beat Florida State. They beat SMU. They beat Notre Dame. They beat Virginia. And you might say, hey, outside of Duke, who might be the number one team starting next week if they just beat UNC this weekend before they head into the ACC tournament. Well, Carolina's not that good, beat them by 20. Florida State's not that good, 72-46 final. SMU away on the road. And by the way, that Florida State game was on the road where they hammered them. 79-69, double-digit win. Notre Dame at home, not very good basketball team, doesn't matter, won by 15 points. Go on the road against Virginia, not a very good basketball team, doesn't matter, won that game by double digits. Two games to end the season, Boston College and Virginia Tech, two teams that aren't that good here. So they're hoping, talking about the Duke Blue Devils, they lose to Carolina, and you can win out as Clemson and grab a share of that conference title. But you still got to get through those next two games, which they will, which is Boston College tonight, who is really bad. The one thing that we do know about Clemson, they're going to move at their own pace here. But how many teams are in the ACC? 18 teams. You know who's the worst offense in conference play? It's BC. Turn the ball over ridiculous amount of times. And by the way, 16th out of 18 teams are turning the basketball over. Can I tell you who the number one team in ACC conference play at turning you over is on defense? That's the Clemson Tigers. That's usually a death nail. BC doesn't get to the free throw line. Clemson doesn't foul. The ultimate equalizer, as I like to point out in conference basketball play / college basketball play, is the three-point line. If you can shoot it a lot, get hot, and be effective, you can take down some big teams. You look at the line tonight. This is a road game. Opened up at 13.5 as a favorite towards Clemson. We're now sitting at 15.5 at most outlets, 15 at Bet365. Total in this game is down 1 point from 137.5 at the opening number to 136.5. But that's because BC is terrible. BC turns it over, doesn't offensively rebound, doesn't get to the free throw line, doesn't make free throws when they get there. They don't shoot a lot of three-point shots either. I told you, an equalizer for a team that's looking to make a comeback in a game and or pull an upset. 16th out of 18 teams in volume, 8th around 18 at making the three-point shot. And by the way, Clemson, very good defenders to the three-point line, third best in conference play. So BC's defense can't be as bad as their offense. Technically, it's not, but it's 15th out of 18 teams. Like Clemson's second most efficient offense in conference play, they would be the best if Duke didn't happen to reside in the ACC. They don't turn the basketball over when BC doesn't turn you over either. They rebound on offense when BC doesn't rebound at all on defense. Now, Clemson doesn't get to the line that much. We know who fouls more than any other team in conference play. It's Boston College. The three-point shot, which BC will chase you off the line, Clemson's not overwhelming. They shoot 39% of their total offense from three, but second in conference play at 39% as a team. This game looks like it has 20-point blowout all over it here for Clemson. As we said, two games left for Clemson. Need to win both of those. Maybe you can make a run in the ACC. Maybe knock off Duke. You never know where you sit on that two line, three line, one line. If you can pull off a miracle and some teams lose some basketball games down the stretch. But that's what I look at. Now, this next game we're going to go over, which I haven't handicapped yet, so I'm going to do it right with you guys on the air. It's Colorado at Texas Tech. And Colorado, in Big 12 play, is 2-16 overall. Brutal. 11-18 on the season. You take a look at Texas Tech, 13-5 in the Big 12, getting healthy now, 22-7 overall on the season. Let me see what they did in their last game against each other. So let's see. Texas Tech. Actually, this is their first game they're going to play this season, which is so interesting. We have so many teams in a conference, but I don't see them. For Iowa State, Arizona State, UCF. Yeah, they're not. This is their first game of the season they're going to play against each other, which is interesting. And Texas Tech, on the other hand, after getting beat by Houston, which, what did you expect? They had multiple guys out for that game. Nice bounce back performance on the road at the Fog by knocking off Kansas 78-73. Now take on Colorado at home. So going through this one, we know we have a very good team in Texas Tech against a really poor team in Colorado. 16 teams in the Big 12. Colorado's dead last on offensive efficiency at 16 overall. Turnovers, one of the worst teams. And by the way, in the nation, I didn't see if this is in the nation. They're 354th in the nation at turning the basketball over on offense. By far the worst team in conference play, 16 out of 16, doing that. Texas Tech does have the number one rebounding defense in conference play. Now, the one thing that could help them a bit, Colorado, is they do get to the free throw line, and Texas Tech does foul a bit. But Colorado doesn't make three-point shots, average at shooting from the line. But the focus here really is going to be on Texas Tech and what they want to do from an offensive perspective. They're third in conference play in efficiency against Colorado, 12th overall. Also understand this. They don't turn the basketball over on offense. They don't really get to the free throw line. But again, Colorado, 16th out of teams of 16 in the Big 12 at fouling. The three-point line comes into play. Texas Tech loves to shoot the three-point shot. And Colorado, about midway in the conference at chasing you off of the line. But if you're number two in conference play like Texas Tech is, where 45% of their shots come from three-point range, they're good at shooting it. 36% as a team, good for number three overall. Texas Tech should be able to maul Colorado tonight at home. Line 17.5, though. Maybe a team total makes more sense here. But I did want to get a look at that game as a smash job. More college basketball and NBA on the way. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. College basketball dancing. Well, almost. The official start to the dance next Sunday. Not this Sunday. Next Sunday night, Selection Sunday. And then away we go. First four games from Dayton, Ohio, and the rest is history. We'll have fun. We'll bet it. Sports Grid Network is the place that you certainly want to be. But you know where else is the place you want to be tonight? If you can, get there. 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Fox Sports 1, the Gamble Pavilion, Storrs, Connecticut. The back-to-back reigning two-time NCAA champions. The UConn Huskies are going to take on Marquette. Love this game. And by the way, this morning, put out a video, 2.5 for Connecticut. That line is up to 4.5 at some outlets now. I got 3.5s, 4.5s, 3.5s, and 4s out there. Make sure you're shopping accordingly, getting the best possible pricing. 144.5 is the total. Marquette comes in this game as a very good basketball team. Connecticut, Still a little bit left to be desired. Efficiency on offense, Marquette number three. Hey, that's really good. You know who's better? It's Connecticut at number one in conference play. Take a look at the defenses. Marquette does have a better defense than UConn does. But let's take a look at where styles make fights here. Marquette doesn't turn the basketball over on offense, which is fantastic. That's what you love, specifically with going on the road. And Connecticut doesn't necessarily turn you over. And by the way, Connecticut does turn the basketball over themselves on offense against Marquette, who likes to force turnovers. That is an issue right off the bat. And if Connecticut can lessen the turnovers and not lose that battle by all that much, I think that's going to play a big difference in this game. But let's go over some other facts here. Marquette, 11th in conference play, getting to the free throw line. I don't know if they can take advantage of Connecticut, who does foul and play aggressive, if that's not really your MO. You know what your MO is for Marquette? The Golden Eagles, they're number two in conference play at volume from three-point range. 46% of their shots come from three-point range. They don't make a ton of them. 32.4%, which is eighth out of 11 teams. And quite frankly, Connecticut doesn't defend the three-point line fantastically. They're ninth out of 11, but what they do is frustrate you from the three-point line. Number two in conference play at chasing you off the line. So for me, a lot of times I look for, it's not really how the percentage mark is for the most part. I look at styles that make fights, because even a wide open shot from three-point range is certainly a long shot from a guarantee. But if you can frustrate an opponent on what they want to do, and you stymie them from what they want to do, that usually goes hand in hand. Now, Connecticut's offense, number one versus number two, that's going to be one to watch. And Marquette might have a slight advantage because they can turn the basketball over, and UConn doesn't protect the basketball as well as they should. But styles make fights in this one. Like, you're not pushing Connecticut around per se, right? They're fifth in conference play, getting to the free throw line. Marquette's defense is sixth and not letting you get there. There's no real advantage there, which is actually not so bad. The three-point line, they make their shots at 35% better than Marquette. Talking about Connecticut's offense, they don't rely on all that much. About midway in conference play and chasing you off the three-point line, Marquette doesn't really do that. They're ninth in play. So the three-point shot will be available. Can Connecticut knock it down? Usually lean towards a home team in that situation. Point distribution from inside the arc, which means two-point shots. Sixth in conference play is Connecticut at 49% of their offense coming from inside the arc, and then 49% roughly at giving points up inside the arc. And fifth in conference play defending is Marquette. So in this game, you do have Connecticut's defense stressing upon what Marquette wants to do and making that a focal point of the defense and a strength, chasing you off the three-point line. We don't have that on the opposite side when we're looking at Marquette's defense. Even though they're good across the board, you're not going to get UConn out of their own offense. They'll get to the free throw line some. They'll shoot some three-point shots out there. And certainly they will take their fair share. But also inside the arc, they're number two in conference play, close to 55% at conversion. And that bodes pretty well against Marquette. I think it's a good spot for UConn tonight. And that's the way I would go. 3.5s to 4.5s across the board. 2.5s were available a little bit earlier today. Now, looking at some other action across the board, and there's a lot of games to play out and a lot of things later this afternoon that I do have to look at. But sometimes I just find myself like going all the way down the board. And we do have odds here. The Lemoyne Dolphins taking on Central Connecticut, who I do believe that is the NEC. And yes, it is. The nation's longest active winning streak. That's Central Connecticut. The Blue Devils. How about that? Blue Devils down at Duke dominating. Central Connecticut Blue Devils dominating in the SEC. Last time they lost, January 12th at home to LIU. After that, have won every single ball game. And they're going to take on Lemoyne tonight. Now, when you look at Lemoyne, 354th ranking on KenPom. As bad as you could possibly get. Horrendous on defense. And you look at both of these teams. In conference play, they're not extremely fast, but they're not slow by any stretch here. And Lemoyne's offense loves to shoot the three-point shot. Now, will they make him is the question because, you know, Central Connecticut's got a very good defense, number two overall in conference play in efficiency. But why can't we get points in this game? Like, look at Central Connecticut's offense. Best in conference play versus number ninth-ranked team in Lemoyne, which, again, there's only nine teams in the NEC. They're terrible. Look at the three-point shots. They give up 40% from three-point range. Not volume of shots. Shot actual making, 40%. You take a look at a team with Central Connecticut that doesn't shoot a ton of three-point shots, makes about 33% as a team. That should be automatic tonight. They should be 35% without even opening up their eyes. But also this. Number one in conference play is Central Connecticut at scoring inside the arc. Now, you might say that, let's just say Lemoyne is decent at eighth overall defending inside, which means that point distribution. But this just seems like a runaway freight train type of game. 13.5 might be worth a shot there. Look at that. I say, hey, hon, who you betting tonight? Looking forward to that Central Connecticut Lemoyne Dolphins game. How about that one? But that should be a smoke. But as I told you, sometimes most people are just dead hunting the biggest games of the night, which we love to get into because you guys love to bet those. The Florida Alabamas, the Michigan Marylands, you know, Mississippi Tennessee, if you want that one. UConn Marquette, we just went over. But I look at the bottom of that card sometimes and be able to just find absolute bangers on teams that should get wasted. And a lot of these are tournament games tonight. Like the NEC, that's a tournament game. Also, LIU and Chicago State. St. Francis and Wagner tonight. I always want to say Wagner now. Like, Mo Wagner ruined us. Like, when I see Wagner out there, it should always be Wagner. And it should be Mo Wagner. But it's Wagner. So it sort of creeps in and gets into my head at that point here. But it is what it is. We got one more segment to go. I'm loving college basketball. Hopefully you guys are as well. A little NBA talk next. Why not? Do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's your favorite part of the tournament, people? Is it opening weekend? Is it that Thursday, Friday? Wall-to-wall games, but not the biggest games across the board. Your bracket usually goes up in flames sometime around late afternoon on that Thursday with major upsets. Is it the Friday where it's like, okay, now we start to get better? Saturday, Sunday, which starts to get better? Is it the Sweet 16, the final week, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, the championship game? Like, what is it? Like, I enjoy it all the way through. I love college basketball, college championship tournament weeks, which start this week. Some of the lower level teams that you're watching right now. The big boys, as I continue to say, get underway next week. That's fun because it's like the trial before the actual, you know, storm hits. You get day-based basketball next week. Teams trying to make a run from a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We even talked about the Sun Belt yesterday. Did you know that conference, if you are the final seed, I think it was like Coastal Carolina, you have to win 7 straight basketball games in 7 straight days to make the March Madness tournament, if you will. Now, they're not going to. But what kind of ludicrous setup is that? Which I absolutely, it's diabolical and I love it. I do. I love the fact. I would love to see one of those teams run on a 3 or 4 game win streak and really test him. Like, man, we just played 5 straight days and picked up 5 straight victories. That would be fun. Let's talk NBA action right now. Let's see, 3, 6, 8 games on the card tonight. Some interesting lines, no doubt about it, throughout. The haves and the have-nots are starting to show up, which includes the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers. -12 is the Cavs at home. Cavs also on a back-to-back. Doesn't matter, it seems like. You pencil them in, as I say, every night for 125-plus. Their offense is astoundingly good. The Miami Heat, who's going to show up tonight, by the way? Getting 12 points. Rested. You know, is Hero going to play? Duncan Robinson? Bam Adebayo? Or is everybody showing up? I do think that is a legitimate chance to go over the 222 because, not because the Heat, because the Cavaliers are so darn good that I think they can get that done. Timberwolves, Charlotte, not really much response in that game. Celtics, Trailblazers, not really into that. Another game with a high number. Oklahoma City Thunder, favored by 8 points to 7.5 points, depending on where you're shopping, against the Memphis Grizzlies. Talked about it a little bit on the morning show. Let's call it 7.5 now. That is a high line, which I was buying into this morning. We'll see who some of the final numbers come out in this game, because 250.5 is the current number for the total in that Grizzlies Thunder game. Extremely high. Both teams can actually score. In love with it, no. But I still would back the Thunder. I think they're the best team in basketball. Even though the Grizzlies, a top 2-3 seed in the West and at home, still catch it over a touchdown, is kind of wacky. The Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets, one of the more interesting lines. That's 5.5. No Sabonis for the Kings, but still a talented roster, no doubt. But Denver also at home, after getting beat over the weekend by the Boston Celtics, so they should be rested. Looking at the report tonight, though, Aaron Gordon listed it as questionable with an ankle. We'll see if he goes. Obviously, Nikola Jokic expected to go tonight. But that line is interesting. And also taking a look at the ticket count in that one. 73 to 74% coming back here for the Denver Nuggets. That line opened up at 6.5, now sits at 5.5. Are we led to believe maybe something else on the horizon? Like, if Gordon sits out, that's going to hurt them, no doubt. But how about Jokic? I know he's listed, you know, sometimes that knee, like for rest, but they've been off since this past weekend. It's Wednesday night, and they're at home. And you always have the advantage when you are used to playing in elevation, not the team that you're playing against. The Dallas Mavericks all but dead at this point, getting double digits on the road from the Milwaukee Bucks. Just trying to check the injury report here. Kevin Porter, that doesn't really make too big of a difference. Caleb Martin's still questionable for his side of it, but that team is a walking injury at this point. 87% of the tickets coming in on the Milwaukee Bucks, despite being a double-digit favorite in this game. Another one out on the West Coast, which, you know, always joking about the Phoenix Suns. How did you blow a game against the Suns where you have 20-plus points late in the third quarter? That's what the Clippers are doing. They've been horrendous after the All-Star break. They're going to be resting guys tonight, which is why the Detroit Pistons have opened up as a two-point favorite, now sit at 4.5 across the board, and it makes some sense. It really does. Who's going to show up? Is Kawhi Leonard going to play tonight on a back-to-back? Is James Harden going to show up tonight on a back-to-back? Norm Powell, we already know, is out at this point with a hamstring injury, which is devastatingly bad news. Isaiah Stewart listed there as questionable with a back. We'll see if he goes. But that's just a basketball team in the Detroit Pistons finding their way around the NBA and maybe enough to win a playoff round once they get there. But I'm buying that line move. I think the Pistons can beat the Clippers by 5+ points tonight. I do. The Clippers aren't all there, and let's just say Kawhi Leonard is down. Why not be the Pistons tonight pulling out that victory? It is what it is. Thanks for tuning in on a Wednesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. For JP Behind the Wheels of Steel, I'm Bonnie Wrightside. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.